Hey Songtown, here with Clay Mills, the Songtown Studio. Today we're going to talk about how to make your lyrics hit harder.
Love it.
All right.
How many ways we got? Five?
I think we got five. Yeah. So let's go with five ways to make your lyrics hit harder. Number one, though, I think is to start from your heart. You know, I think if you're writing something that you feel and that is based on an emotional reaction you had to something, it's probably going to be stronger than if you're just trying to write fiction. I mean, a great writer can write fiction that, you know, has impact. But I think for a lot of us, it's easier and better to start with things that are, you know, emotional to us.
Yeah, so, okay, so I've noticed this issue with a lot of writers. Say you get your heart broke. It's easy to write about that because all of a sudden you have a clear emotion and a clear direction. Mm-hmm. So if you didn't just get your heart broke, how do you tap into that same emotion and direction? Because that's where I feel like a lot of writers go wrong that turn in songs at Songtown is that maybe they know what emotion they want, but they don't, it's not as focused and as sharp as when you're just going through something. So what would help them get their emotion more focused and have that sharp direction?
I think a lot of times we avoid going emotionally back to those places that hurt.
Oh, okay.
And so I think if we can learn to kind of in our head go, okay, I'm at a safe place now. I can still look back on that. I can still feel that pain. You know, what emotions was I feeling in that moment? You know, was it loneliness? Was it inadequacy? Was it heart, you know, just heartbreak?
So actually take yourself back to a point where you felt that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was riding with a woman one day that I had never met, and she walked in. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And she started crying. And I'm like, okay, this is not going to be good. But she said that the night before she had told her husband she wanted a divorce. And I said, what did he do? And she said, well, he started crying. And that's the first time I've ever seen him cry. We've been married 7 years. He's never shown emotion. Mm. And I said, what did you say to him? And she said, why start now? And I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, you had
to write that.
She was going through it, but you had enough perspective to spot where the great song was.
Yeah. And I mean, I was able to go back to situations that I had that were maybe similar in some ways. And so right. I could draw from some of my stuff, but a lot of what I did was just draw out of her of like, well, how are you feeling? You know, what caused you to get to the point of being done with it? You know, right. That kind of stuff.
And you so, keep going back to that moment where it was said and try to stay true to that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And instead of, because sometimes with time, we can soften the emotion, you know, or it doesn't hurt as bad now as it hurt then. So the song we write about it now is kind of sugar-coated or it's...
Unless you're a great writer.
Yeah. Now, I saw one the other day where somebody had kind of, they were excusing the person for cheating on them, basically, you know, in a way. And I'm like, is that how you felt in that moment? And they're like, oh no, in that moment, I wanted to kill him, you know?
And so, write that.
Yeah, write that part. So I think all those can be ways you can get back there, you know, either by finding a common experience with somebody else that you're working with, or just taking yourself back to that time and thinking about how you felt.
Okay. What's your second?
Next one is to, and this is similar, but, you know, write something you care about. You know, one of the exercises we give people sometimes is to write down five sentences you'd really like to say to somebody in your life.
Now, hold on a second. I know people watching are going to go, of course you got to write something you care about. Like, why would you write about anything else? But we actually see this a lot, that it is hard for people to really reflect and find something that they care about.
Yeah. My dad was a drug addict, and I saw a song recently from someone I was mentoring, and it was about having an addicted parent. Mm-hmm. And when I read it, I'm thinking, I don't think this person actually had an addicted parent because that's not how it works. And that's not how you feel, or that's not how I felt. And so I said, is this about your parent? And they said, oh no, I just came up with this hook and thought it'd make a cool song.
Right. You're trying to write. I see a lot of songwriters trying to write something they think will be cool or something that they think will be a hit or something, they rather than focusing on something real first.
Yeah. And in that scenario, if you find an idea that you think will be great for that kind of song, maybe hold on to it until you're in the room with somebody that's been through that and they can give some authenticity to it.
Right. Which would be hard to do if you don't co-write, but if you do co-write.
It would
but you were going to say before I interrupted you, you were going to talk about that exercise.
Yeah, the five sentences.
The five sentences.
Yeah, because if you, and some people I know keep a journal like this, they just write down these sentences. You know, here's something I'd like to say to the guy that cut me off in traffic just now, you know, or here's something I'd like to say to my dad who never told me he loved me.
Right. So the exercise is sit down and write five sentences that you would like to say to someone.
Yeah.
And that really nets a lot of great results because a lot of times we're trying to write a song, but this takes it back to you're trying to say something to someone. And songs at their essence, I believe, are a conversation.
Yeah. You're trying to write
writer,
a truth.
Yeah.
You're trying to write truth.
Audience. Yeah. Write the truth.
Yeah. And so, you know, then what you could do with those sentences is, you know, take 15 minutes or 30 minutes every couple days and go through those and brainstorm, okay, what are some cool hooks I could use to describe that scenario that, I, you know, how could I come up with a hook or a angle that would be cool for that? And one of the examples we had at one of our events was a guy, the statement was, I wish you had stuck around to see the grown-up me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to a girl that he had been immature and he messed up their relationship. And so he wound up writing a song called The Grown Up Me. Right. But there could have been all kinds of different titles around that idea, you know? So I think you can take those sentences a lot of times and come up with lots of ways to describe that truth.
It could be about a father that left when a kid was young. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I wish you had stuck around to see The Grown Up Me. Like, there's a lot of ways that could go.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, number three.
Number three is be sure that you're showing as well as telling. So, you know, if I was mentoring someone recently and I said, let's go through your song and just write down beside each line whether it's a fact or a feeling. And so we went down and it was like fact, fact, fact. Like you said this and then right. You said this and then you said this. And I'm like, well, how does the singer feel about that? You know, and you don't have to say, I felt lonely when you said that. You know, you can find a creative way to describe loneliness. You know, it might be that empty pillow beside me in the bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, just has a lonely feeling because you're not there laying on it with me.
I mean, anymore. We see this just in everyday life. People gravitate towards emotion more than they gravitate towards facts. Like if you're trying to convince someone of an argument, tapping into their emotion is going to be more successful than just saying, well, the facts say if you do this, then, you know, the studies are that, I mean, right. Nobody cares about facts.
Exactly.
I mean, I do, but.
Right. Well, and it's kind of like if you're in an argument with someone, like, you can say the fact, like, you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this.
It just turns them off.
Yeah. And, but what you need to get to is, and here's how I felt.
Right.
You know, and so it's kind of the same thing in the song of like, show me some things without telling me everything in the song. You know, don't make your song a laundry list. And, you know, the example would be in my song, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, that Kenny Chesney did. The opening line is, preacher told me last Sunday morning, son, you better start living right. Well, from that, we learn that they're at church, but we didn't have to say they're at church, but that's where preachers are on Sunday right. morning. And we learn that the singer's been kind of wild, you know? And so we were able to say more than the words said because, right. you know, we say something and then you can
rather
get
than
a
just
lot more.
Saying I was sitting in church last Saturday.
I was sitting in church morning. And the preacher said I'm being too wild and, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. All right. What's number four?
The next one is, make sure that your images are tied to emotions. So like if you're talking about grandpa's old truck, that's great. But why does grandpa's old truck matter? You know, that's where you learned to drive and that's where your daddy learned to drive.
Right.
Is that what he took you fishing in? when you were a kid and you got all these fond memories. And a lot of times what we see in songs is like there's all this pictures being painted, but we never get around to why does those things matter, you know? And I'm always trying to look at every picture I paint in my song and go, does that advance my story or is it just a cool picture?
There's an old cowboy saying, all hat and no cattle.
I've written that.
So you have all the clothes, you've got the hat on, you got the right boots on, but you don't know your way around a horse or a cow.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah. Awesome. So just, you know, make sure as you're painting pictures, one of the techniques I like to use is if I paint a picture of something, then I tell you why that matters or what the emotion is tied to that. And then I maybe paint another picture and I tell you why that matters and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I remember we did an exercise where we hooked up, we brought in an artist into Songtown and successful indie artist. And we had 200 people in a class write a song for him. And the idea was to write a summer song. So we've got just song after song that painted the picture of summer. There was the beach, there was tequila and margaritas, there was Ray-Bans, there was white sand, it had all these pictures, but very few of the songs actually told you why you're singing this stuff. It lacked the emotion, you know?
Right.
All hat and no story, all hat and no emotion. Uh-huh. So yeah, great point.
Yeah. And the last one would be, think about simplicity. And one of the exercises I give in my lyric master classes is to write a song that's so simple, I'm going to tell you it's boring.
Yeah.
And I've never told anyone it's boring because like we want to be poets and we want to like come up with a clever line and all this stuff and we lose what we're really trying to say. So a lot of times sticking to one emotion in your song and just communicating it simply is better than some flowery language and clever lines. And the song, I Can't Make You Love Me, is a great example of it. Just this woman's pouring her heart out, but there's not much poetry and there's not much clever language. It's just telling a poignant story.
And if you do want to write a song that is more artsy, like for instance, if you're writing a song by the song Yellow by Coldplay, there is a certain magic in a melody matching up with the right vowel sounds. I have a whole video on Songtown about how different vowel sounds cause different emotion, but that's a different type of song. That's almost like some of those rock songs were almost like abstract art, you know, and abstract art is beautiful, but so is, you know, the David sculpture of David, you know, sitting in Italy. So there are, you know, different types of songs. So we don't want to say every song has to have that clear emotion and not have, you know, poetic language. But I think at the essence, even if you have poetic language, it has to have such a clear emotion underneath. You know, and where we see people go wrong is they're just trying to be poets or they're just trying to be clever. And then you lose the whole point of the emotion underneath it all.
It can get to the point where being clever is the point.
Right. Of the song. And so you're saying start from a place that's real, that has heart, that has emotion, that's clear. And then you can always adjust it and add to it. It's easier to add the spice once you've got the dish put together.
And I think, too, one caveat about Yellow would be if you and I had written Yellow and pitched it to Coldplay, they probably would have said, bro, what is this?
Yeah.
You know, but if they want to create that, and as an artist, that's a different thing. And
today, they're not writing that kind of stuff because the world's different today.
Yeah.
And if they want to sing to millions of people at a stadium, then today's music is different. So you also have to be kind of conscious of, you know, people bring up Bob Dylan. Oh, he was this poet. And I guarantee you, if Bob Dylan was 19 today, he would be writing a different kind of song.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? Yeah, he was a great writer and he wrote great songs for his time.
And I think he would have been a great writer in any time, you know. Yeah. Awesome.
On that note, we'll see you soon.
Right on.
Hey, thanks for watching. If you appreciate the content, hit the subscribe button and help us grow. Shout out to Sweetwater Music. It's where Marty and I get all our musical gear. Great people. We'll see you guys around town. Right on.